helpful to me is if either one said, the reason I feel bad for doing this is I want to know myself as a competitor. I want to know that I've earned everything that I've gotten fairly as a member of this union, in fairness to the people against whom I compete, who are also my brethren in a labor organization, that this calls into question how good I am at baseball. And I've worked too long and I've worked too hard. I don't know if I can ever earn back your trust or if I can ever earn back my own trust in myself. Because more than anything else, whether it's to the game or whether it's to other players, I feel sorry that I betrayed myself by taking the easy way out. And everything that we say about doing the hard work and everything we say about being the best at what we do in the world, I need to prove to myself that I'm as good as I think I am at this game without any of this stuff.
That would be great. I don't know that he feels that way. There's also been people are less likely to feel or act as if they feel shame when they do wrong. Mm. That we kind of live in a place where everything can be justified. And at that level, everything can be justified. There's another example that's kind of going around the interwebs over the last couple of days, and it's the Snoop Dogg apology. So Snoop Dogg went in on Gayle King because of her interview with Lisa Leslie, where she asked Lisa Leslie about Kobe Bryant's sexual assault allegations and kidnapping allegations that were then settled. CBS didn't do Gayle any justice by clipping it off and acting as if that was all of the interview. But Snoop went on Twitter, and the juxtaposition of the timing of it was incredible. Snoop goes on Twitter and calls Gayle all sorts of names and then is like, we gonna come and get you. And for a guy that's been up on a murder rap, yep, and is obviously notoriously connected with gang activity, that's a little scary to everyone. The juxtaposition is the same time this is dropping, he is on Ellen's show, smiling and doing
Grandpa Snoop,
doing the Grandpa Snoop stuff. Snoop apologized on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, and it was a well done apology where it was, this is what I'm sorry for. I did this. This is wrong. I'm going to try not to do stuff like this anymore. I apologize for what I did instead of how you feel about what I did.
That to me is critical. Is this is why I feel bad. It's not, this isn't why I made you feel bad, or I'm saying this because this is why I feel bad for what I did. That is the essence of what we're not hearing in any of this stuff, is that they actually feel bad about it.
And I think that's the question. Is there actual remorse amongst the Astros? And quite frankly, it doesn't seem to be the case. Everyone's just trying to get through it. And they're not using this as an opportunity to learn about themselves. They just want to get to the part where they can talk about the fun aspect of baseball. Yeah. And baseball itself is guilty of this too. They figure that the timing of when these judgments came out, when the punishments came out, that they were just going to be able to glide into spring training and no one was going to have to worry about this anymore.
And they have Dusty say they feel bad. Well, you saying it, I'm not taking your word for it feel bad.
And quite honestly, you're the wrong person to say it. I get that you're the manager of the team now, but you don't know bleep about what those guys feel and who they are. It can't come from Dusty. It has to come from the guys that were actually here. They are the ones that, if we're to move on to the point where they can be forgiven, for whatever that means, there has to be the remorse and contrition. And they're just kind of playing it out. We've now gone to the point where people, instead of giving an actual apology, are just okay with the facade of an apology. And that's what the Astros are doing. They're not giving you a real one. They're just saying this is what we have to do to then go on to do the other stuff that we want to do.
It's a headline apology that they hope gets swept away in a 24-hour news cycle.
Well,
it's exactly what it is.
To the credit of the people that are covering baseball this spring, it hasn't been that way.
There's a good follow-up question to the GM.
Joel Sherman.
Was that Joel Sherman?
Yeah, it was Joel Sherman.
Of course.
Pounded James Click.
That's why you can't text Jay back. And
that's not why, Lawrence.
And when you have a guy in Boston being tagged with interim manager.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because baseball hasn't finished their investigation. This is going to be something that continues. It is now people, and I think for baseball media, by the way, you're listening to WSCR and AC Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, radio.com sports station. For baseball media, it's an indictment of how far we, and I'll use we, wanted to dig. Because all of us had heard stories about this.
Absolutely.
All of us, but we had no evidence. And really, it was difficult to figure out.
It's tough.
And guys in those clubhouses weren't, they were telling us, guys in organizations and were telling us, but they were never telling us with stuff that we could go on the record with.
Right. And if you gave it a run, things dried up fast.
Real quick.
Things dried up really fast if you gave it a run.
But now I'm glad that people are, well, now I got you on the record. And now we know what happened, and I have this 10-page report that I can point to and say, you need to answer for this. You need to answer for one of your dark arts guys still being employed by the team.
One of?
And it not making sense.
I mean, come on.
I mean, all these things are, I'm glad to see that there is this much pressure being put on them. And my hope is that we were going to see guys like Alex Bregman and Justin Verlander, who are very vocal about other issues.
Altuve, too.
Altuve as well, that we were going to see from them a realization that this was an opportunity for them to step forward and be genuine. And what we've gotten was the kind of cardboard cutout apology nonsense stuff. So that's where we're at.
Have fun today, Lawrence.
Thank you, guys. That is Dan Bernstein, a.k.a. Marsha Clark, a.k.a. Lieutenant Caffey. And that is Connor McKnight, a.k.a. Kenny Smith's white son. They're here every day from 9 a.m. until noon on The Score. I am here every day from noon until 2 p.m. Top of the Hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4, kids. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
What would be the best advertising partner? The Jim Boylan Ridiculous Timeout is brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Want to get away? And Troy says it should be Kit Kat. Give me a break. I love that. That sounds perfect. 978 Texer, because a diamond is forever, just like the ending to this game. Jim Boylan's unnecessary timeouts are sponsored by Hotels.com and brought to you by Captain Obvious. This timeout's brought to you by Home Depot. More saving. Let's do it. Axe Body Spray. When your team stinks and your coach needs the axe.
Make me a bicycle clown.
We had a lot of fun with that. And I guess Brian Gertz in the video department here at The Score clipped that off and put it on The Score's Twitter account. And the suggestions for a sponsor for the Jim Boylan Ridiculous Timeout continue on Twitter. And it was very, very good. Yes, Campy?
We've actually been slighting Jim Boylan a little bit that we did not present the counter argument to this.
Which is?
At least he didn't run out of timeouts.
This time.
Yeah.
I mean, because it has happened before.
Right. But the last, what, 3, 4, or 5 times, it's been taking the extra time out, not running out of them.
Okay, I mean,
so does that count as progress?
Sure, baby steps. Let's use it as baby steps, even though he's annoying the entire league. But I was very impressed with your creativity yesterday. I thank you for that creativity. Keep that type of creativity coming when you are texting into this show on the Tech Zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We have a lot of fun stuff ahead for you today. Our buddy Chris Herring, who covers the NBA for 538 and ESPN, is going to be in here at 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Bulls and the All-Star game. Campy, I was up late last night, man, watching Lakers Nuggets. That was a lot of fun.
Two of the five best teams in the league. Good stuff.
It was. It was really, really good stuff. But we start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here's your rundown for Thursday, February 13th, 2020. In Major League Baseball, the owner of the Houston Astros had a hard time separating truth, even though that truth was just a few seconds ago.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Yeah, you did. That's what you just said. Herbie, can you play the front part of that again just so that Jim knows that that's what he said? Because it's what he said, like right before that question was asked.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game.
Yeah. Okay. That's what you said. Here's what Alex Bregman had to say about the cheating.
I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans.
No, shut up.
Leave Ronji out of it. I would have, it's whatever. Here's Jose Altuve.
The whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball.
I think that Altuve was a little bit better at emoting than Bregman was. Bregman felt like, I'm just gonna read this and then I'm gonna get out of here. Nothing. You know what it is, to use another Chappelle-ism? It's the dumping the pitcher of water and running out the room. Here's the apology. All right, gotta go. That's what it is for them. Moving right along, so it's getting late and dark for the Blackhawks right now.
Now Myers pinching in. Brandon Sutter couldn't pick it up. Taves did. Kajula knocked down just as the puck got there. A takeaway by the Canucks. Ben put it to the middle. Here's a centering pass. Open net and a tap in for Gaudette. Well, the Hawks were heading out of the zone. Kajula got run over. Ben the hit and the takeaway. And it's a 2-0 Canuck lead.
Yeah. Blackhawks are 0-3-2 in their last five. Markstrom with 49 saves. You knew. Was I the only one that when they saw them celebrating the Sedins, immediately thought that the Blackhawks are going to lose?
Every time I see the Sedins, and I told this to Jay, is if you ever seen the movie Just One of the Guys, in that movie there's two guys who are kind of alien-like. And then they have to pick teams in the gym, and they have to be separated. And then they make some sound like, I can't go away from my friend. That's what I think about the Sedins. They had to be picked by the Vancouver Canucks. They had to play together, and they had to retire together. And Jay just showed me this meme.
Of them on the bench doing the exact same thing at the same time with their gloves and their water bottle.
Yes, I hate those guys. Even though I'm not a Blackhawks fan, there's what the hell?
It is a little bizarre. But as soon as I saw those guys in suits, and I was like, oh no, this is going to end up bad for the Blackhawks. And it did. And now they're 0-3-2 in their last five, and their playoff hopes are dwindling. Absolutely dwindling. The Bulls, on the other hand, they're on a break because the All-Star game is coming up. Kendrick Perkins told Mully and Haw why people don't want to go to war for Jim Boylan.
Those timeouts are getting out of control. And to me, that's just an ego thing and a pride thing, and it's all about Jim. And it's not how it should be. He's just trying to make a statement of just how he's going to run things. And that's all good if you was winning and you're at the top of the East. But if you're down at the bottom of the bottom and, you know, you're just barely scratching the playoff surface and guys are already complaining for you. You know, people, as a player, you don't want to go to war with a coach like that. That makes you hate him. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the thing is that you want guys to buy into what you believe in. And the way he's going about it is just a recipe for disaster.
It does seem that way. That's a guy who played for a long time talking about how Jim Boylan is perceived. If you'd like to go see a couple of guys that play for a long time talk about this and other NBA issues, if you're caller six to the Scores contest line right now, which is 312-591-6700, we will hook you up with a pair of passes to attend a live taping of the All the Smoke podcast tomorrow, hosted by Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. The taping will feature interviews with Kevin Garnett, as well as the homecoming of one Derrick Rose. So listen to the latest episodes on YouTube or on the radio.com app. How about we talk about the Cubs? Because the Cubs are now ready to go. Pitchers and catchers there. A lot of the position players are there as well down in Mesa. Kyle Schwarber said this about 2020.
We all expect a lot more of ourselves than what's happened the last couple of years. And like I said, that's where you take it in from a learning experience. And you put that forward going into this upcoming season. And knowing that, you know, we got to do things better. And, you know, I don't think it's a secret that we got to do things better.
You know, Kyle Schwarber in the second half of the season wasn't just good. He was great. I was talking on STL about this last night. Like, he started off really slow, and he was a little bit above average player in the first half of the season. In the second half of the season, here's a slash line on Kyle Schwarber. 280, 366, 631. He slugged 631 in the second half of the season last year for an OPS of 997. So to put that into context, an average player is around 760. In OPS, he was 997. Those numbers are incredible. 20 home runs, 49 RBIs for him. It's funny because I do this myself. I sometimes leave him out when I'm discussing the Cubs. I go Rizzo, Baez, Contreras, Bryant. But the second half of the season that Schwarber had last year was absolutely monstrous. And that is your rundown for Thursday, February 13th, 2020. So yesterday on the show, we talked a lot about the Cubs, and they had had their State of the Union address about the team and the franchise with Theo Epstein yesterday. Well, 2 days ago. Yesterday, out in Glendale, the White Sox did the same thing. So we're going to give them a similar treatment. So when we come back, you're going to hear from the particulars out there in Glendale, including Rick Hahn telling you about the guys that are already injured for the White Sox. We will discuss that next here on The Score.
Showtime and Radio.com present All the Smoke, coming to Chicago for All-Star Weekend. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson are behind one of the hottest new podcasts and want you to join them Friday, February 14th, as they welcome KG, Kevin Garnett, as well as the homecoming of Derrick Rose. Listen to The Score for your chance to win a pair of tickets to All the Smoke. Catch recent episodes of All the Smoke with Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Dwayne Wade, and the late Kobe Bryant. All the Smoke, available on Radio.com and video on the Showtime Basketball YouTube channel.
Hey, prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little pill that treats ED is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/me. That's right. Free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/me. That's forhims.com/me for your free online visit. forhims.com/me.
Hey, it's Flo, with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants. Go to sleep.